Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
True worship does for us that it helps us see God as He is. We are able to see Him. And when we see Him, we are able to respond. Let's look at this scripture. Isaiah chapter 57, and I believe it's on your screen. For thus saith the Lord, the lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. What's God's name? Holy. Whose name is holy. You know who a man is by his name. He said, for I dwell in the high and holy place. What is God's name, please? Where does He dwell? So if you are searching for Him, you must know the journey, the requirements. Say, who shall ascend into the hills of the Lord? He that has what? And a what? And a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to vanity, to the things of this world. He may be blessed, but he's not moved by them. He may have mansions, but they don't mean nothing. Nothing more precious than the presence of Jesus in your life. You are not scared when you are broke, but you become scared when you can't find His presence anymore. You are like asking God, where are you? When you are in the storm, and when you are sinking. When Peter is sinking, but if Jesus is there, he's still okay. But woe betide anyone, and you are on that high seas, and you are sinking, and you can't find Him. You can't find Him. And there are many people in that... at that junction this morning. He said, I dwell. This is God speaking about Himself. Say, this is where I dwell. I dwell in a high and lofty place. God doesn't dwell in the low place. So if you want to advance towards Him, you must understand that you are going to journey. You will journey. Jesus wanted to reveal Himself to the disciples, and He took them to the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't reveal Himself at the low places. He went to a place only those who are willing, who had a heart for travel, who had a heart for a journey. In Israel, that particular location, now you can actually ride a bus there. But it's a very high and steep mountain. Please, are you with me now? That particular mountain where Jesus was transfigured is very high and steep. If you are not trained, you can't climb it. Now, can you now imagine that Jesus wants to pray at night, and in the dead of the night without a torch? Jesus, because you know Jesus was a prayer man, he prays at night. Because some people have all the revelations against praying at night now. They say just talk to God, just have faith in your heart. My brother, the enemy at your doorstep, he doesn't operate like that. Because even the enemy, what does he do? He sows at night. He waits for when you are tired and you cannot resist. Then he begins to plant seeds. And you wake up suddenly and you are liking Ronke. You are like wrong guy. The person that slept last night was a Christian. The person that woke up right now is thinking of wrong. Have you ever asked yourself, come on, who knows what I'm talking about here? You woke up and started thinking about somebody. Oh my God, and you are so holy. The enemy sowed tears. That's what happened. Don't try to just say it's one of those things. No, they came to your house and sowed tears in your heart. Have you ever woken up and you had a fantastic idea? You woke up with it. Have you ever woken up with a song? You've woken up with a song. Somebody came to sow that seed. Because for you, it's just your mind. But those who know how the night season, they know that's when powerful men operate. Jesus would travel and climb those kind of mountains and travel high. That is, the time it would take him to climb that mountain could be like an hour or two. And he would still pray for 3 hours. Our generation must learn this. You must learn from the best. Learn from the master. Don't learn from all these Instagram people. All these Gucci people. Don't learn from them. They have the flask, but not the horn. The flask is cosmetic. But to get the horn, blood must be shed. You have to. And that takes struggle. Have you seen when a cow is about to be butchered? Have you seen the struggle? Your flesh will resist. Because you can't imagine God taking away your dream from you. Jesus took three disciples and took them to that mountain. If Peter had fallen that day and died, they would replace him. So the first requirement is to make sure you don't fall so that you can see the glory of God. He said, I dwell in the high and lofty place, and I dwell with him. Come on, look at that. I dwell with him that is also what? Of a contrite and humble spirit. Look at the requirement or qualification for those who can dwell with God. Because some of us do not even realize we are proud, but we are actually spiritually proud. You may prostrate and greet, but in your heart, you do not really think anybody is at your level. You walk into the office on Monday morning knowing that this office, if you don't show up, there will be a problem. So you come with that air of confidence. Some people even do it spiritually. They deliberately come late to the church. Alright? So that people know that they are around. If you come late, you should run in. Don't follow the back door. Don't. See, I dwell. Can you imagine the guys who worship before God in heaven this morning and one of them comes late? Just imagine one of the seraphs. Just imagine. I want you to imagine. And they don't use clocks there. No wall clock, no time. But in a Kairos moment, you can be late. These things are personal things. To know the Lord, we must know him as the Most High. If you want to know God, you must know him as the Most High. He has no category. He has no... No one can compare to him. No one can rub shoulders with him. Most High. Not just high. Most High. That qualifies the highness. So when you come into the place of prayer, you must come in that same mind. That same heart. Say, let this mind be in you, as also was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself as a servant. You want to know why Jesus was so powerful? He was a servant. He could have come to God and say, "Ali makara," but be speaking in tongues to God. He knew who he was, but any time he had to interface his father, he came down. But he was equal with God. Do you also observe that whoever among the Godhead was showing up always submitted to the previous one? Because when Jesus came, he said the Holy Spirit will not even do anything without him. Come on, are you here now? So they have this thing among them where they submit to each other's authority. It's strange. I don't get it. It's strange. Jesus came and said, "My Father is greater than I am." Then Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Not the Father. I. And when he comes, he will only take what I have said and give it to you. He will not say anything. Even though he's co-equal, he will not say anything outside of him, outside of what I'm saying. He will not tell you. He will just tell you like Jesus said. That's why many times when you claim you are hearing God, most times you are remembering the scriptures God spoke to you in your last Bible study. Because the Holy Spirit will only speak to you of the things which Jesus has said. You must know him as the Most High. What does the word high and lofty mean? The word lofty means something of imposing height. Something that has a very imposing height. Huh? You used to think you were very tall until you met some people. Some of you didn't realize how blessed you are with your height in terms of being short until you met some people. You now realize that, wow, you're actually very, very blessed. Or like Brother Femi in our choir in those days, very tall. And he was so tall, he couldn't dance. He only moves his body like this. Because if he moves, your body will fall. So people used to come for our concert because of Brother Femi. They want to see, they just like looking at him. So if he's dancing, he's doing like this, doing like this. Because he can't move. If he moves, your body, there will be a problem. Something of imposing height. So when the word of the Lord says, that I am. For one, when the word of Lord said, for Thor said the high and the lofty one, God was speaking about himself as someone of imposing height. You may not be afraid of him. You may say what you like on social media, but when you see him, you can't talk. Apostle Paul killed many until he met him. Jesus didn't touch him. He only gave him his light. And he was bound to the floor. And he called Jesus Lord before confessing his sins. Our generation has not met him. We have all these fancy, nice speaking English people online. There's a way you talk. I can tell that you have no prayer life. I can almost tell. Not that the Lord, I just suspect you. I told you guys about a prophet that I really like. He's very handsome and very cool, you know. Very young. He's in the U.S. But recently he started saying some things like, the Bible is not really very specific about fornication. The Bible did not say you cannot have sex before marriage. That is not there specifically. That, yes, it's inferred. Now, the problem is the moment there's a gray area, it's better to stay away. Now, when you say that kind of a thing in a place like the U.S. where they're already struggling, most people sin out of boredom. They sin out of boredom. They are just bored. Let's sin. Can we sin? Say yes. Can we? My house is free. God, let's sin. People keep body counts there. The way you keep your bank statement here. It's a serious matter. So before anybody asks you to that body count, you better ask yourself. Some people have a list with date. Day, year. It's a serious matter. So except something happens to that laptop and that Google Drive, your secret is not safe again. I told Pastor David yesterday, we were having a meeting somewhere in Magodo, and I said, look, telling yourself you don't want to fornicate now may not be enough. But I give you a cheat code. The moment you see him or see her, just in your mind, put HIV status positive and twins at the top of her head, virtually. See, you just behave. Because now, the Pro Max edition of this government will not allow anybody now. You want to have twins, you have to be very ready. After having three children, you'll not be explaining to your children, actually something happened, I don't know what you say. You want to be explaining to your children what happened. That you could not, what you could not achieve with their mother, you achieved with a strange woman. Twins or triplet. Heavy status, positive there. You just see that your body will just balance. Because it doesn't show on the face. You understand? And it's something, once you get it, it's a gift. If you want to last, you have to be creative. I'm telling you. Don't let anybody kill your fire and take your candlestick away. The word lofty means one who is strong and resilient. Lofty, one who is strong and resilient. That means when you come against him, you are most likely not going to break through that barrier. The scripture says concerning the false prophet, he said, "For I am against you," said the Lord to the false prophet. Woe unto the false prophet. Those are strong contentions. You need to know who God is in order to know how to behave around him. In summary, we must identify with the holiness of God in order to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? It's like I've been preaching holiness for like 3 weeks now. You people are enjoying it. You don't like it. I'm not getting nobody shouting earlier in this church again. You don't like the message on consecration. Talk to me now. At least you shouldn't fast. Today we are fasting. You shouldn't lie. Are you enjoying the message on consecration? You must like it. Said you don't want to make heaven. You need more than to be born again to make heaven. They told you a lie. When they told you that, just believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Oh, you've not read it. Even the devils believe. And they tremble. When they hear, you know, you don't even tremble. Those demons, when they hear Jesus, they tremble. But you are high and lofty. So you don't tremble. You are used to God. You are used to his presence. Let God take away the presence for 3 months. Then you will see dryness. You think that the things that are happening around you, those good things, you think it's because of anything you are doing. No, it's God's presence that is making you to blossom. Let God withdraw it. Ooh, you will watch all the Netflix movies, you will not be satisfied. You keep changing, looking. You play a movie, you say, I'm not feeling it. You play another one, you say, go and pray. Go and pray. That's what you need. And turn off your phone. Because I know that's when Chike will start sending you message. Hey, where are you? I'm not anywhere. I'm praying. Learn to tell people I'm praying. Yes, because some people have no regard. If you give them time, they will encroach. Hi, Chike, I'm praying. I'll get back to you. Okay. Eshe. What does it mean to be holy? Hey, I'm telling you your survival strategy. Some of you want to be humble. They will wipe you out. Learn to tell people I don't chat after 9 p.m. Except you heard that my late father that died many years ago has resurrected and is at Ojota asking for me. Don't tell me you just want to check on me around 10 p.m. I'm not available. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be separated. Come on, say separated. The word of God says, separate yourself from the unclean thing and I will touch you. In this season of fasting and praying, it's a good time for you to take stock. Take stock of the relationships in your life. Which one do I need to separate from? Take stock of where you have been spending your money. Maybe there are some things you need to stop. Take stock of who you have been giving money to. Don't resist every attempt from all these Folakes and Sade and Busola and this is it. Hi, Pastor Dave. I'm just broke. You have to look unto Jesus. In fact, you need to know what I was just studying the Word of God. The Bible says, let me read it for you in Hebrew. Say, looking unto Jesus, the author. Then you stress that one, author. You are just not wise. You don't know how to say no to people. Then when you keep meeting everybody's needs, you have not helped them appreciate the value of trusting God. Because you've turned yourself to the El Shaddai. And when you are the El Shaddai, then you shall die. You shall die. Does that make sense? I'm not saying you should not give. I'm saying take stock. There are people you are doing things for, you have no business helping. Because they will never learn. I told one of my young girls, my wife was listening to me. I said, because some of you know, I have a gentle face. I don't know anybody who is as gentle as me in this world. I pride myself in my gentleness. Man. I told my younger one, I said, make no mistake about it, I'll cut you off. Without remorse. I said, do you think this is how we got here? Fluffing around, taking semi-nude pictures and putting them online. Do you think this is how we got there? You think I'm a fool paying your school fees? Think I'm a fool? I'm not a fool, though. I have what to do with my money. I live by faith. Who are you? Living riotously on campus? No. I said, no. Let me just tell you now. You are just one step from being disowned. I told her, no, I'm not joking. Where is my money? I said, and if you are thinking you will surprise me in the future by telling me that you finally made it, I won't be around. I'll be in Canada or somewhere. Because I work hard. I don't pass my boundaries. You can't be living riotously on my expense. I will not allow it. If I'm taking care of you, you must be in church. You don't have option. What do you mean? That's my definition of gentleness. Sometimes I just rub people's head, And that is what happened to many of us and why we are not responsible today. Your father is retired. You are still, oh God. To be separated means you will take stock. Let's not just look at it in terms of spiritual things. Take stock of every aspect of your life. Relationships, what you do with your money, what you do with your time, the kind of movies you watch. If you are always, if you specialize in watching all those movies that are about, what's that kind of movie that, give me the word, obsession. Those movies that have obsession, you know those kind of movies? Like somebody is married, she now meets another guy at the gym, they start all those obsession, then she can't stop. See, your destiny is already being written. Because whatever you focus on will be created around you. Whatever you focus on. You see this thing called focus? There's one song like that. This thing called focus. Very powerful. Separated. As we fast and wait on God now, let's begin to take stock. Don't ask somebody to pray for you and you are fluffing around playing. How can somebody come and say, Pastor, if you know what I'm going through now, Pastor, and I check your WhatsApp status, this is how I woke up this morning. Eh? Just because God is good to me. So what are we praying about? There's nothing. You go and enjoy your life in Christ. I have other things. I have my own personal issues. I have not finished praying. Have you ever been in God's presence and you didn't know even how to start the prayer? Because you were overwhelmed. Bible says when your heart is overwhelmed, God should lead you to the rock that is higher than yourself. There are things we go through that you will, people who are supporting you and rooting for you, they will never tell you. On the day of my pastor's appreciation service here, my wife was at the hospital. She wasn't in church that day. My daughter was on admission. My wife, I don't even know if she had a bad day. She slept at the hospital overnight. And I was here. People are saying, I will thank God for pastor. Thank God. I was in tears. The tears was a mixture of so many things. My wife is not here. My daughter is not here. I just want, if you ask me, I want to go and stay with them. But somebody has to run the service. Then you want to leave right out of sleep. You want to watch Netflix. Abby? Come on, say separate. Come out from there and be clean. That's what it means to be holy. Number two. To be without sin. This generation will never know the glory of God if we don't address the issue of sin. No matter what you hear, no matter what anybody is saying online, no matter how fancy they try to make it look so that you can be coming to church, this generation will continue to be weak unless we address the issue of holiness. Fasting, prayer, all those things are amplified when there's holiness. Write it down. Fasting and prayer, their powers are amplified when there's what? Holiness. To be separated means to be without ulterior motive and agenda. When you tell somebody good morning, it has to be good morning. You are not trying to be smart or wise in Lagos. Where are you now? I just got to my 12th. We are still at Agrico. Say, I just got to my 12th. You are trying to tie the person down. You are not sincere. I told my wife, and I said, I've learned over time that people only tell you what they feel you can do. They will never tell you the complete truth. My wife, she hears some of my conversations when I'm, talking to people. Sometimes some of these people are in other countries and they are talking, I'm dying. By the time I start saying, let's investigate this dying, you want to die. You now realize that this person is living in sin. For all my fellow brethren here who are going to be in Canada very soon. If it makes you happy, I'm also working on my own visa. So we'll go and meet there. I saw, yeah, we are here. Start church again. Oh, Lord, God, don't catch you. Oh, Lord, you think you're running away from me? You can't go anywhere. Me, I should stay here and repair Nigeria. You want to go? We are going to be here. May I inform you officially? Most people I know who have gone there, they have struggled with their faith. If right now you are still struggling to come to church because of fuel increase, a liter of fuel in the UK is not less than £5. A liter. Now your car runs on 65 liters, 75 liters. Edweba machine. 65 liters times £5 or £6. Because that's what you will pay when you enter the bus. So, please, human calculator. 65 liters times 5. 325 times. How much is a pound now? 1,000. Say, oh yeah, Eba Mishi. Huh? When I went to Uganda to fill 325,000, when I was in Uganda last 2 months, a full tank of your Toyota Camry, that big daddy, was about 360,000. Full tank. That's how blessed they are there. So if you think you will get there, somebody will roll the carpet for you at the airport. You better wake up. That's what I told you. If you want to go and learn a skill first. Learn a tech skill, data analysis, do some. Don't just go there and be saying, God, Nigeria, Odigbao. Somebody traveled to the UK. When he landed, you won't like some, because you don't understand Yoruba. Please, let me interpret. He got there and now posted on Facebook. You know, you have been trying to live for so long. He now said, Nigeria, Odigbao. Odigbao means what? No, you see, if you say bye-bye, the emphasis is not there. They say, as I'm looking at, you will not see me again. I'm gone forever. If you see my leg at that Muritala airport again, cut it. So when the brother, before he did Odigbao, he was coming here. Father, sir, I like his. That brother is very fervent. Very fervent. Ulterior motive. Very fervent. Very fervent. Pastor, when is the next prayer meeting? This brother is so. I love your spirit. Somebody that is planning to run away. And when I saw this, it's only me too, I'm going. So don't even think that maybe one thing. Once I calculate all of you and I see that 70% of you, you will see me. So if you like, keep planning. Me, I'm also planning for you. What does it mean to be holy? It means to have pure eyes. The scripture says, thou art of a purer eyes to behold evil. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Beautiful scripture. Habakkuk 1:13. Let's read it. You see, we are going to, because the theme of our month of fasting is revival, we need to address this thing. Don't worry, from tomorrow, fire will begin to fall, but we need to address this one. Do you have the scripture? Habakkuk 1:13. Look at this scripture. For thou art of a purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on what? Iniquity. That's our God. If you fornicate or steal, or rob, commit a crime 3 months ago, and you say in your mind that because it was 3 months ago, it has gone, that God has forgotten. Any unconfessed sin is fresh. Are you with me now? Any unconfessed sin is what? Is fresh before God. Because God's eyes are so pure, they cannot behold iniquity. If you cheat your client, God's eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. If you change the price value of a particular item and say because you stressed yourself to go there, you came back to the office and you lied to your boss, God's eyes are so pure, they cannot behold you. So the Lord dwells in a holy place and his environment is free from sin. And wait. God is with him who is of a contrite and a humble heart. A contrite heart is that type of heart that is always broken. Broken heart. I believe it's in Isaiah 66. Let's look at Isaiah 66. Is it verse 1 to 3? Verse 2. Give me Isaiah 66 verse 2. Quickly. Are you blessed this morning? I don't know. Sometimes I used to feel for you guys that you come from very far places to be hearing this kind of message. But it's what you need here. We didn't realize until now that Pastor Kumi was right. We didn't realize. The man was right all along. At 80-something, still doing crusade. Many of those people that were shouting, yeah, man, they are weak. They are weak. They can't continue. Baba Adebo is still there doing, let's go out fishing. Bishop Adebo was still on the street of Ota this last weekend. Jesus, come to Jesus. Come, Jesus, come on the street. His son was at Bagada this last weekend. David Jr. Jesus, the Baba has pushed all his sons out. Where are we sons? The son went to K2, went to Bagada, I think some other locations. Only the boy. They were using the stadium, you know, public spaces. Your own evangelism cannot be on Facebook alone. It's a lazy way of doing things. The resources are not there. They are here. Facebook is free microphone. Put your money where your mouth is. If you believe you want to win, so go and rent a hall. Ask people to come for welfare and preach to them. Our generation doesn't know sacrifice, but we know how to talk. We know how to talk about things that are not working. Even though we've never proved it. It's on Facebook, you see people are not married. Counseling married people. Give me that scripture. For all those things has my hands made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. That's what the word of God is saying. This is the kind of man God looks at. So before you begin to pray and think you can roll on the floor at the redemption camp and corner God, look at what God says here. Look how God says. It's better to open the book and read it and see what is there so that you won't be assuming the marking scheme. He said, to this man will I look. Him that is poor, the word poor there is humble, and of a contrite spirit. The man that trembles at my death means there's a body language God expects when his word is being spoken. There's a way God wants you to respond. Don't slouch. Have a posture like he's about to say something and you need to catch it. Come on, say, Lord, have mercy. A contrite heart is that type of heart that is always broken. Every time God's word is coming, your heart is in a posture to receive. It doesn't matter if it's a small child that is speaking or somebody that is older. You just have this heart that God's word is above everybody, including the speaker. A man is not anointed because he talks well. A man is anointed because God's authority is upon his tongue. We confuse anointing with charisma or power of oration, ability. You can orate, you talk, and you forget that I said if you don't have money, you have mouth. But I'm telling you, now that I will know somebody who is anointed is not necessarily somebody who can talk. Have you heard of William Branham before? Have you listened to Pastor Kumi before? His church, his headquarters is in front of my house. Same 3 points. For the last 40, 50 years, 3 points. His messages don't go beyond 3 points. All these messages I'm preaching now, he has finished preaching already. Believe, receive, be saved. Jesus is calling you. Wherever you are, come. Jesus is calling you. He's coming. And people are always coming. If he gives the altar call, they must come. Doesn't matter if you are not wearing a ring, you must come. Even if you are not wearing a ring, you must come. The moment he says come, you must come. If you are in sin, something will drag you. Baba will say, I want to count 1 to 10. One. You will see people running. Meanwhile, in other places, if you say, come to say, let's wait for him to finish counting. The man is a counter. He's a mathematician. Let's allow him to come so we can share the grace. A contrite heart is a heart that is broken, experiences godly sorrow. Let me ask you a question. Anytime you fall into sin, do you experience godly sorrow? Or do you just allow, do you watch a film to kill the guilt? Come on now. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just watch a film. You don't want to think. You don't want to think. You don't want to feel bad. Godly sorrow brings. Hey, I say godly sorrow brings what? Repentance. Which means that if you ask for forgiveness of sin without meeting the first condition for godly sorrow, that prayer cannot be answered. Hey. Hello. Hello. Church is quiet. Oh. Hello. Did you hear what I said? Because when I say, Pastor, actually I asked for forgiveness. So, hey, wait. Look at what the Bible says. Me, I like to read the Bible. So those of you who are lawyers, you appreciate what I'm saying. The Bible says godly sorrow must precede repentance. If you feel sorry because you got caught, you've not met that criteria. You, like David, you must say, before thee, O God, have I sinned. Before thee, O God, not because you are caught. Before thee, that means whether you are caught or not, I have sinned before you. It's not against the person. Before that person, you have sinned against the Lord. We must begin to take, don't allow wokeness take away godly sorrow from you. It is a sign that the Holy Spirit is still in your inside. The day you no longer feel godly sorrow, your name is not in the book of life. Please hear me. Okay. You are blessed. I said you are going forward. Say now. Nah. You can't even shout. I've finished all of it. Lord, you win. Come on, say godly sorrow. Come on, say you need godly sorrow. Come on, say I need godly sorrow. Please tell your neighbor you need godly sorrow. That is one of the thermometers we use to measure if you are still in Christ. If you sin, say you sin. Don't say it happened. Say something happened. What do you mean by something happened? You sinned. You sinned, Abby. You sinned against God. Say, okay, so what's your sin? Say it happened. Pastor, it just happened. You know, it didn't just happen. You sinned. So are you using paracetamol to treat typhoid? You sinned, Abby. Okay, what's your sin? Oh, okay, you stole. Okay, you stole. So how much did you steal? I'm telling you why many people have tons of unanswered prayer. Satan has put them in a tight spot. They are not used to admitting. The Bible says, confess your fault one to another, that you may be healed. Which means that the ministry of healing in your life can be predicated on forgiveness. That's why I tell you, when you read your Bible, take your time. Don't rush. Look at what is being said. Because there are principles, there are foundational principles in those verses. If you miss them, you will say, but Pastor, I fasted. No, slow down. Say, is this not the fasting I have commanded? There are conditions. Now, this message is a pastoral message. Oh, I don't know how you are hearing it, but you can't even be a genuine prophet if you don't call people to leave and abandon sin. You cannot. It's the first requirement. Not telling people their phone number. A contrite heart always notices when he is beginning to play in the red zone. Do you know what I mean by the red zone? Do you know what I mean by red zone? Eh? When you are beginning to play with fire, a contrite heart will begin to prick you. Start going on. You used to talk to Adams. Now you are talking to Falake. You are even exchanging movies. Say you need a prayer partner. You have found a prayer partner. You pray 5 minutes. Say, let's start praying 1 hour. Red zone. And you know yourself. You know yourself. Any small entanglement. You know yourself. It's not the time. It's just wisdom. Stop claiming spiritual level you don't have. You know yourself. There is an environment each of us will be put in. Our flesh will be triggered. Ha! You think you're an old man? There's a place they will put you now. Eh? You begin to whistle. My wife and I went to Lekki. So when we are coming, we saw a particular school. It's a Wisu Primary School, Wisu. At around Chevron. So we noticed that, and my wife, and I told my wife, I said, the way I'm looking at this school, I'm sure it's the school fees that is making people whistle there. when they email your bill to you, there's one song where I saw on Instagram, people are they whistle. It's a secular, people, you just start whistling. you won't even know. You just be whistling. Say. And you now, you have four children. I'm almost there for beggar. They arrange themselves for. If you go to whistle school, I cannot help you. A contract out, we always know when it's playing in the red zone. The Holy Spirit will be ministering to you. He will be speaking to you. Sometimes before you get up and go to that place, there's something you are telling you, something will happen. Something will happen. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not something. It's the Holy Spirit. Go home. In fact, I prefer you to lie then. Say, I have a headache. I'm going home. I will pray for you. God will forgive you. That's a smaller sin compared to stories that touch. A contract act does not exonerate sin. It does not justify it. It does not say everybody is doing it. It does not say that was then. This is now. I went to the shopping mall a few days ago, and I'm sorry to say this, you know, but it is what it is. Because some of you are there. It's just that you have not manifested. I noticed as I was walking to the shopping mall, it was very cold, it was raining, and I noticed all the young ladies who came in there, they were not dressed. They just wore a top. There was nothing else. Nothing else, like practically nothing else. And somebody was coming, saying, sir, we sell very fresh meat. I say, meat. I am the meat here. I need to go home quickly. So some people have taken it upon themselves to change the times. And that's one of the signs of the Antichrist. He will seek to change the seasons and the times. Things that could not be heard of 15 years ago are now normal. Like the lady that was at the main road in the red zone, and the brother was trying to preach to her. Say, give your life to Christ. This many years ago, I heard this story. Give your life to Christ. Say, I'm a Christian. Say, what are you doing here? It's prostitutes that stay here. Say, it doesn't matter. I'm in Christ. Say, do you know that you can be afflicted with sin? She said, God forbid the blood of your God. Even the evangelist was shocked. The lady started speaking in tongues. That no evil will befall her in this journey of destiny. In this endeavor, a contract act does not justify sin. Please, and let me just say this very quickly here. If one of us is struggling, it is our responsibility to come around that person and help. Not to make it a topic. The problem most times is that we individually we are struggling, but we cannot come out. Because you also know that that person, she's struggling. This one too is struggling. This one cannot keep any secret. This one, is a man, but he talks more than a woman. This one, once you tell him, he will expand it and sell it on social media. I've been to see people who send you messages, cryptic message on WhatsApp, on their status. You're angry with them, but they will not talk to you. They will go and post it on WhatsApp. To all those who hate me, I just want you to know I'm still alive. All the evil things you are saying against me, my God is for me. He's still fighting for me. Say, tell them God is still for you. Just look for one picture, one of those motivational quotes. Post it. The universe is still working for me. They thought you would come down on your knees, but you are still here, still standing. Say, those who are looking for your downfall, you will always be ahead of them. Type amen if you agree. You are not well. You and the person that you are sending messages to yourself, you are not all right. A contract act does not justify sin. If there's an issue, we have to talk about it. And that I'm a pastor does not exonerate me from error. So we have to talk about it. And we must all have the mind and the willingness to address these issues and forgive and move on. Anybody that is still married after 15, 20 years is not emotion, it's decision. So if you are still there thinking, yeah, just like the way it makes me feel, you know, just say, it won't last. We are still campaigning. Eh? When you now move to the house, you will now know that we will wash clothes, we will cook. There's no washing machine. We don't usually have light in this area. We don't usually have water. We'll fresh water. It's where we have here, no bowl. Ah, which kind of house is it? Say, this is where God has put us for now. Ah, Pastor, I can't marry him. I really don't understand his vision. Yeah, okay. Tell neighbor, don't exonerate sin. Sin is sin. This, you see, I'm taking my time because I want you to digest this bitter pill. Because it's not, even though if I preach it the way it is, everywhere will be dull. You won't be able to pray again. What about a humble spirit? What's a humble spirit? A humble spirit is that spirit that bends to the will of God always. He bends. He has no will of his own. A humble spirit is that kind of spirit that says, God is always right, even if I don't understand it. Oh my God. Something is going on in your life. You have more questions than answers. And you are already telling yourself, there is something I don't understand. You exonerate God. It bends to the will of God. Say, for this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's the will of God. You can't be praying, whether it's the will of God. Somebody's online, and you see the kind of likes and followers. Some people try to correct that post, and the members came for those people in the timeline. Please, don't comment on anybody's post. They will come for you. So if a major prophet in the U.S. with over 1,000 members comes online to say fornication is not a sin, and you know that kind of thing, the algorithm on TikTok will push that video. It will be shareable. You won't be looking for the share button. It will be there. Just go to Instagram. Pa, pa, pa. Everybody is sharing it. And the person talking just got married. And he's very handsome and tall. And I'm looking at the wife too. Got his shell MB. Something has happened here. Or something is happening here. You bend to the will of God, no matter how uncomfortable it is. God is always right. Please say, God is always right. That's the reason why new culture, modern culture is fighting Christianity. Because you don't want to relinquish rightness to somebody you cannot see. You don't want to relinquish it. If we both agree to do it, whose problem is it? That is new culture. A humble spirit always says, not my will, but your will. Look, listen to me. About 9 years ago was when I was supposed to have moved to Australia. 9 years now. I would have done my doctorate now. In fact, I just saw online yesterday some of my colleagues who we studied together at IFE. They got promoted to associate professors. Yesterday, this last week. Ah! And I just thought, I said, oh boy, you said, for don't go far. Ah! See, but all those things we would have counted as major wins for us, we count them as dung. For the excellency that we might win Christ. The problem with not following the will of God is that when you die, God will not measure your disobedience by your refusal. He will measure it by what your obedience would have given him. If your obedience to God would have given him 10 nations, you only know of your disobedience. No, I want to marry Funke. I don't want to marry Rolake. That's the only one you know. When you get to heaven, they will show you what that decision cost God. And that will be the basis for your punishment. So you have to be careful. God is always right. At the end of the day, even Satan will join unbelievers to say Jesus is Lord. So don't let anybody deceive you. I was doing my own thing quietly and I'm planning to go. That's why I don't have any problem with you if you want to go out. All I'm saying is, are you really going for God or for yourself? That's the only question. Because most people are going for themselves. And that's the problem. The enemy is waiting to swallow you up. Because all those places you are going, you will not hear any pastor that will tell you that you should not sin. That's the problem. The weather in Canada can take away your prayer life. And now you can't even pray here. So I'm not saying you should not go. Just wait. Because your salvation may be hanging in the balance. Go to Joss alone. Joss alone. You may not be able to pray in the morning. Joss. I've also told you I'm going. But you see that I'm listening to Pastor Kumi, all those old men. Because I want to retain my prayer life. I don't want to die. Come on, say, not my will, but yours, O Lord. The Lord may tell you something, to do something that is not comfortable. The Lord may tell you, for the next 6 months, meet me 12 a.m. every night for 45 minutes. It's not for you to go and be discussing with my sister that, do you know what God is telling me? I don't know how I'm going to do it though. The moment you start talking about it, you are failed. And I have a personal experience to this that up to today I have not recovered from. Very painful experience. 2019, it was in the month of June. I would wake up at a certain time of the night and I'll pray for 4 hours. After some time, the Lord told me, if you continue like this, there are some prayers you will not pray again. I prayed to the point that if I sat on a chair and I blinked, within that blink, I will have visions. 3 visions. 2 visions. It's a blink, oh. I'm with you, but I'm seeing something else. I prayed to the point where my flesh became subdued. Because the issue is not praying 7 hours. It's praying 7 hours consistently. That's what we are saying. The issue is not praying 2 hours. Can you do it consistently? The issue is not praying. Can you pray without touching your phone? Do you know that the day God spoke that word to me was the day I started struggling? I still got up at night too, but not with that same fervency again, because affliction will arise because of the word's sake. So don't play games. Don't play games. God knows what he told you. He's not confused about it. If you like, go and tell your friend and let her talk you out of it. So God can ask you to do uncomfortable things. He can ask you to do it. He can tell you for the next 3 months, don't have any savings, be giving it to that sister. He can tell you. I know some of you will never hear that one, but he said, but he can say it, and there's nothing you can do. If he says it, you have to obey. Because the earth is the Lord's. I say the earth is the Lord's. A humble man does not assume the will of God. Oh, I think this is what God is saying. No. That's a very strange and calculated risk. How can you say you're a Christian? You don't live by the will of God. So why do you say you're a Christian? You cannot say you're a Christian if you are not submitted to the will of God. You cannot say it. You are in the outer court. You cannot say it. It is a reckless and careless statement to say I'm a Christian and you don't live by the will of God. You are not a Christian. You go to church, but you are not a Christian. Don't assume the will of God. You know, because we've been talking, there's a connection. I just feel like, okay, we can take it further. We can't take anything further. We can't take anything further because love is not enough. So what happens tomorrow? You now find that she can't conceive. You change your wife. Or that day you remember that you're a red cap chief in your village and you are the one that will be the heir apparent and you must have children. You be marrying women. Once you see them, you marry them. Once you see them, you marry them. Like my friend at Osun State. you want your daughter to be married now, take it to him. The day the girl that just won this cook-a-ton, that they said, Oba Fekie, they said the king wants to greet you. They said, don't go. The king wants to greet. What's that girl? Hilda. They said, oh, he wants to greet you. Ah, don't go to Ifel. Ah. If you go, what's the number now? You'll be there. Don't go. Ah, we love you. Even me, I joined them to say, don't go. I don't know you. I don't know your pastor, but please don't go. This is your cooking. Just focus there. The Bible says we should prove all things and hold on to that which is what? Which is true. If somebody tells you heaven and earth, take your time to prove it. I will give you the heavens and the earth. Which one do you have now? None. I woke up this morning thinking about you. Lie. Lie. Because this morning when we woke up, we were in a prayer meeting. You could not have, you're a liar. But we know we are campaigning. Prove all things. If somebody shares a revelation with you from the God's word that seems too good to be true, most likely it's not true. Yes. It's not about the time you spend in prayer. It's not about praying for 5-6 hours. It's about a heart. A heart. A heart. Listen, I know some of you prayer warriors are in here right now, but you got to hear me right now. You see, well, in those days we prayed for 7 hours, but we were broke. We prayed for 10 hours, but we were poor. But you see, the moment we began to apply the principles from the book of Proverbs, we began to blow some up. Just tell your wife, till the church. We have not found the church we'll be going yet. Let's try the next one. The tree by the river. So what is revival? Are you blessed this morning? See, this message is like 4-in-1. Because from tomorrow, when we start praying online, my assignment is to destroy all the works of darkness. But these are the things that will stand in our way. So let's take it out. And let me just announce to those of you who are angry at me now, including those who may be online. You cannot go to the doctor and tell him how to treat you. The only thing you can tell him is the symptoms you are having. You cannot tell him, don't touch me, don't touch me. If you go to a gynecologist, or you can, even if it's an awesome guy like myself, you cannot tell him. All those brothers that are even gynecologists, is it that they don't want to make everyone? Why will a young man be a gynecologist? Like, show for a lot of money, you don't want to go to heaven. I don't understand. I say you can't pray. You can never pray. Your prayer life is dead. You touch this one from Umofia, touch this one from Oafia, touch this one from Ife. Say, pastor, be praying for me. I say, I'm praying for you. But maybe you go and start teaching, because this your career will not let you see God. When I wanted to study law, they called me at the fellowship and said, you will not make heaven. Way back, things are good now. You can be a lawyer and go to heaven. They are even the ones holding the book of life. These lawyers, they are the ones holding, the book of life is in their hands. They have collected it. You see, please just let my name be there. You know, they, in those days, they tell you, say, Bragbinga, you want to study law? No. For the sake of your eternal redemption. If you want to make heaven. Because you see, those people, they lie. And the Bible says, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and all who make it a lie shall find their path in the lake of fire. Don't because of career destroy. Just come and be teaching. Live a humble life. God will continue to bless you. Anything God gives you, manage. Revival means the reawakening of divine realities that have been lost over time. the reawakening of divine realities, the experience of God's presence, the blessedness of being a child of God, all those excitement you used to feel, you know, just because you are a child of God, that inner witness, the knowledge of God's grace, those divine realities that many times we lose when we begin to get involved with so many other things. And for some of us here, we have lost our fire, not because we are sinning, but because of the kind of job we do. Those jobs are so tasking. You really don't have so much time to pray and to see God's face. In fact, you may not even have one other Christian in that office that you can share faith with. Most of the times, you are just alone. So if that is your situation, you have to brace up. Number two, revival means the restoration of holiness in the life of a believer. The restoration of what? Holiness in the life of a believer. For those of you who have been following me for a few weeks now, you notice I've done a lot of teaching around spiritual warfare, and now I'm dovetailing to consecration and holiness. These things are, they are deliberate. So when a person says, oh, I went to church today, we had a revival, I've been revived, I'm joyful, what the person is saying is that I now love holiness. Scripture says, because thou loved righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore the Lord thy God has anointed thee with the what? The oil of gladness above your other fellows. So all this joy, oh, I'm joyful, without a desire for holiness, may not be completely authentic. When you really have an encounter with God, you want to draw near to him. You don't want to be far away from him again. You want to enjoy that joy that comes from being in his presence. You want to fellowship with other saints. You want to talk about the goodness of God. You want to avoid sin. Revival means that you have a thirst for God again. David said, my heart follows hard after thee. And for those of us young people here, we have to be very careful, because sometimes unconsciously we may be the reason why many people are losing their fire. We have gone online to tell people you can serve God and still be all right and do this, and other people are watching you and they are saying, after all, I was watching a woman preach yesterday, a white woman, and to be sincere with you, she was very powerful message. She was giving those points very powerfully, but her dressing was a distraction. It's an American thing. Focus on the message and not the messenger. But I say, no, we have to look at it too. There are some things we do, they are not appropriate for the pulpit. They are appropriate for your office, for your home. Don't ask me what she was, it doesn't matter. So I don't want to be accused, because they will soon block me now on YouTube and Facebook. I don't want them to block me yet. Must be thirsty. Let your thirst be the reason why you go to pray. Let your thirst be the reason why you seek God. Let your thirst be the reason why you go to the kind of church you go to. Let your thirst be the reason why you are friends with the kind of person you are friends with. Let your thirst be the reason why you make financial decisions. Don't make friends with anybody. Don't call anybody your best friend if you can't pray with that person. Don't call anybody your best friend if you can't have Bible study with that person. You are first a Christian before in Nigeria. You can't discuss spiritual things with your friends. You just talk about the latest movies and the latest fashion and all that. You are. Revival means to wake up from slumber. Say, arise, thou that sleepeth, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, let me speak about slumber. As Christians, we can actually be in a serious battle of slumber, because you are going through things in your life, challenges. Sometimes it's not as if you want to be weak spiritually, but the realities around you are pushing you in a very tight corner. It may be the best decision for you to cry out for mercy and look out for a Christian brother and become accountable. Most times we lose our steam because we try to solve these problems alone. Have friends that you can tell, I'm backsliding, you know. I'm not all right. Have friends that the moment you talk, they will feel your pain and come around you. Not the one that will be sharing Greek and Hebrew. Have people you can talk to. The call of God upon this generation now is holiness. Have people you can talk. Don't die in silence. A lot of people are going through stuff and they are suffocating. They can't breathe spiritually again because of what is going on. I prayed for a lady who said she, you know, thank God she's bouncing in the Lord now. She had a particular challenge in her marriage and somebody referred her to me. She lives in another country. Up to today, I've never seen her face to face. Except when we talk. And she just spoke to her. And I just said to her, I said, the Lord told me, I saw you with a knife in your hand and you wanted to kill your husband. She said, Pastor, twice. Not once, twice. I said, is it that serious? I said, come. From today, I'm your pastor. Where's the knife? Where's the knife? I said, okay. What's going on? I have to start appealing to her. Because whatever pushes a woman to that point, where she waits for you to go to bed and she stands over your head with a knife and she's telling herself, why should I not kill you? All of it, I say, women are weak. The Lord will help you. May you not see the anger of a woman. Do you know what would have, how much, do you know the kind of conversations that would have been going on in her head before she convinces herself that this man should die? The abuse was so much and she convinced that the only way out of this marriage is to kill this man and I will go to jail, but he must die. She convinced herself that she could go to jail. What are you talking about? Please, I appeal to you. That's why your pastor is here. I may be upset at you, but I will not leave you alone. Don't die in silence. If you find that you are already at the edge of compromise, please speak up. Please speak up. And please also give me the permission to speak up if I'm tired. Hey. Hello. See, now there, you want me to listen to you, but you don't want to help me. I said, give me the permission to speak up too if I'm tired. God will say, the way he's even looking, we don't even know what's wrong with him. I'm tired. It's because of your wala that I'm tired. How can a pastor sin? Why? How can he not sin? If he spends all his time canceling everybody and has no time to pray. I can't remember the last time that I had lunch on a Sunday and it was pleasant in my mouth. I can't remember. The year. Not the year. Because by the time I'm done here and I go home, I'm pale. I'm tired. No taste buds again. I eat just to live on Sunday. Not because my taste buds are completely messed up. I'm tired. And I know the way I used to enjoy my Sunday lunch before God comes. But God did not tell me that if he calls me, this will be the repercussion. He just told me, obey me, I'll bless you. Now I find that on Sundays now, I don't enjoy food again. Until Monday. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I'll now wake up, be scrambling like a thief in my own house, looking for... Unfortunately, my wife takes everything, put it in the freezer. Once it's in the freezer, I won't touch it because I can't do wala. You want to hide anything from me, just put it in the freezer. I won't go there. Amen. I want it quick, now. Tell your neighbor, wake up from slumber. Sometimes in order to restart the fire, you need another burning stick. Then you join yourself to that fire. Stay in the midst of people who pray with fervency. Not all these people who pocket their hands and pray. There's a way you are in the midst of three people, and three friends, ladies, and you are praying, you are praying. If you refuse to pray, it will be obvious you are backsliding. You have to get up and pray. Don't follow people who tell you it's in the heart. It's in the heart, but you are dying. You have to move the body. Pray. Don't keep quiet. Revival means to wake up from slumber. Let me see if I can wrap this up in 10 minutes, then we'll pray. You see all these things I'm telling you, will go home. These are the prayer points for this evening. Because tomorrow, 6 p.m., we are back online. We are going to pray. As a pastor, I really wish I could just share things with you that will make you always happy. Unfortunately, my hands are tied. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, the scripture says, therefore, awake you that sleeps. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Can you see how God compares spiritual slumber to death? Ephesians 5:14. If you have it, put it on the screen. Let people see it. Wherefore, it says, do you have NIV or another version? I want us to read this from a simpler version. Any luck? NIV. This is why he said, wake up, sleeper. Tell your neighbor, wake up, sleeper. Wake up, sleeper. So it's a state. It's a status. You have been sleeping for generations. He said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. God equates spiritual slumber with death. So it is not all this Instagram thing you are doing. You need to get into a place where there's red hot prayer. And Christ will shine on you. And Christ will give you light. Praise God. The spiritual state of a man who is not active and alive in Christ is the state of a sleeper. When you are not active in Christ, when the joy of the Lord is not your strength, when you find more pleasure in comedy than in the joy of the Lord. Everywhere is quiet too. In those days, as a younger boy, whenever the pastor is done with his preaching, he will come to the altar and kneel down at Apostolic Faith, the Apostolic Faith Church. You will come and do business with God yourself. You see able-bodied men old enough to be your father, they will be here crying. So even if you come to the altar and you are not crying, yes, is it like I did not hear anything that the pastor said? You know, like your heart is so hard. You have a stony heart. You see people old enough to be your parents, like, so what did these people do? Why are they crying? And when you listen to them, you'll be like, mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord, mercy, Lord. They'll be there 1 hour, 2 hours. When you are done, the offering basket is at the door. Just drop your offering and go. Nobody will say it's offering time, blessing time. Come and settle with God first before you give your offering. You're amazing. And they are one of the richest churches. So they are not collecting breakthrough offering, love offering, special offering, seed offering, miracle offering, strategic offering, sevenfold offering. They are not doing all of that. Just come here and kneel down and pray. When you are done, anyhow God minister to you, give your offering. And they are building cathedral. And we have violin. It's violin we play in that church. Do not let the pleasure of this world to overtake you from God's side. Even as they are singing, you can hear everything. The music is not louder than the voice. Thank you. This one. Do not let the pleasure of this one to overtake you. Even the song is a message. Before the pastor comes to finish you. And then at last, you shall hear a voice saying, I know you not, I know you not. Then at last, you shall hear a voice saying, I know you not, I know you not. Do not let the pleasure of this world to overtake you from God's side. Church. Everyone will be quiet. All fornication spirit out. Do you think they will stand with that kind of song? No. Do you think they will stand? This is just the choir leader or the music, the choir on it with their violin and trumpet, and there's no drum to distract you. Just hear this thing. We want to minister to your soul. They will even tell you, I'll be blessed as we minister to you. They will tell you because they know you will be blessed. You can't can't even clap when they are done. You are stunned. Do not let the pleasure of this world to overtake you from... We should add that song to our songs in this church. Please, I will teach you that song. These are the songs I learned in 1992. I say you are sleeping. You don't know. When one of the marks of revival, your song will change. When you know the value of what Jesus has done for you, wake up in the morning and you are singing, Elo Nemo song for Baoko. Elo. You are singing from a point of revelation. God has met with your heart. Something is happening to your soul. A grateful spirit is communicating. Sometimes those songs will be in your local dialect. You just, something revival, fire is here. That's why we can't sing every song. It's not because they are not calling Jesus. A sleeper is alone. A sleeper is alone, no? Most times you will not know because you have so many people around you. But a sleeper is alone. It's the sleep of death. He doesn't trust anybody. He's keeping secrets. A sleeper, a spiritual sleeper, is always alone. He doesn't know. Everything is in his dream world. A sleeper is without revelation. He's always groping in darkness. Pastor, I prayed. I don't know what God is saying. Pastor, I don't know. I've been praying for 3 months. I don't know what is happening. Hey, sleeper, slow down. Our God is not unfaithful. If your heart is right, he will talk. I said, if your heart is right, he will talk. Go and bring out those 3 things on the altar. Take them away. Take away sin. Be sincere with God. A sleeper cannot be of any value to you. Because whatever you discuss with him will fall on deaf ears. If you rebuke him, he will not listen. If you correct him, he will say you are judging him. If you tell him, don't go to Rolake's house again, you say, what's your own? Somebody challenged Pastor David recently and said, Pastor David has not come to check on... I heard the gist. Has not come to check on her. And Pastor David, you know, Pastor David is a Christian. Pastor David was not feeling fine yesterday. He was on drugs. And I told him, go and break your fast. He refused to break. I said, don't die here. And I called the wife. And the wife, I don't know what happened. By the time I saw him in the evening, he was still fasting. I said, David, I was the one that God used to say we should fast. Now I'm also the one telling you, go and eat. Some people, even without telling me, we'll continue tomorrow. Fasting will not end. He said, fast. Is he a dead man that will fast? We need to be okay first. Pastor David answered the lady, the sister. The sister must have been sincere when she said it, but it was Pastor David's answer that triggered me. He said, I don't visit sisters. You know, when he said, I now check my own Christian life. I said, but Benga, what is so new? Benga, you are lost. You know, some people just make a statement. It just jolts you. He said, I don't visit sisters. You know, it's like it was, God bless Pastor David. I look at it, I didn't know whether to hug him or carry him. Like, it really thrilled me. Like, not because what Star said, it was his response. If somebody as holy as Pastor David says he does it, you. You know, Pastor David too has deeper life element. So, the day Pastor Kumi comes to this church before he dies, he will feel like he's in deeper life. I would have done the work before he comes. Some of you are saying, we don't even know which kind of church we are coming again. I say, hey, don't be late. You can't go anywhere. A sleeper is a rational man. He only recognizes what makes sense to him. He's a good guy. He goes to church. You know, he's okay. He has a good job. That's why I want to marry him. That's a sleeper. No divine element to your decision. A sleeper will say, I will go to church when it's convenient for me. A spiritual man will say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. A sleeper is a backsliding man. All right. I have 10 more points, but I don't know if you can handle it. This one now is the keys to revival. But you people, you are looking ready. The first key to revival, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Come on, say after me, I'm revived in the name of Jesus. I have fresh fire on my altar. My heart is burning afresh with the love of Jesus and the spirit of holiness. Malachi 3:7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and you have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. So the first key to revival is repentance. Turn away from idols. Turn away from the praise of men. Stop looking for 1 million followers on Instagram. You are seeking to glorify your flesh. Those things are not, they are good, but they are not necessary. You don't need them. They could even distract you. Turn away from false idols. Repent. The idols of pleasure. The idols of self-adoration. The idols that are self-seeking. Idols of fame and glory. Return and repent. Idols of achievement. Until I get a PhD, I will not rest. Those things are good. But you have to be careful of your motive. Repent. Let godly sorrow lead you to repentance. Not because something happened and you now felt, oh, you know, you have discovered. Number two. Fresh fire. The key to revival is fresh fire. Take away the ashes. Bring fresh wood. Take away the ashes. Gather fresh wood again. Go back to your first consecration. That's what Jesus said to that church. Elijah's fire brought Israel back to God. It was not really about the challenge. It was about the need to restore a nation. The need to restore a family. So when you are praying and say, God, change our times in this family. The next question is for what? Is it because you want everybody to be fine? You want everybody to be prosperous and well-doing in your family? Is that why you are praying? What will God benefit from this, your prayer? You need revival fire. You need the fire of God to bring to life those things that are dead. And that's why you are going through this tough message that you are listening to now. You have to pay attention. You need to go back and listen to the old message. Play throughout the week. Because you can't say you've heard it once. And please understand that everything I'm sharing with you is from the place of love. God is waiting to hear you. He's waiting. If he's saying it, it's because it's important. Are you with me? If God is saying it, it's because it's what? It's important. Number three, the key to revival is the pursuit of holiness. The first key is repentance. The second key is fresh fire. The third key is the pursuit of holiness. Number four is the pursuit of a life of prayers. I realize that many times when people pray and say, God, revive me, God, revive me. I realize that all they just need to do is start doing those things they were supposed to do. Are you with me? Just start doing them. What are the things you are doing before? You used to wake up at a certain time to pray. Go back to it. And please don't tempt the Lord thy God and be saying, Holy Spirit, wake me up by 2 a.m. This is an iPhone. It's the official phone in this church. Go and buy one. And if you cannot afford this, buy Samsung Don't buy a cartel. And all these hotels. Get the one that if you set your alarm, it will ring. You can say, "Hey Siri, please set my alarm for 2 a.m. Say done. It never fails me. So when you do that, you can now say, "Holy Spirit, I would like to fellowship at 2. So let grace and work move together. A life of prayers. And please, when we talk about a life of prayers, I want us to avoid the temptation that is known to this generation of always playing around their phones. Except you are using your phone to write or jot when you are meditating. Don't fall into that temptation of checking WhatsApp, looking for Rema on status, or to be checking Facebook, looking for who liked your picture. It's a subtle, you are using the energy you are generating and you are dispersing, you are wasting it. I know it can be very hard, but please try. That's the way we learned how to pray. This is, I'm telling you now, you will not appreciate it until you go to Canada. I'm telling you, you will see. And by God's grace, you will go.
Amen.
See, I know how to catch my people. It's not a bad thing, actually. It's not a bad thing. Just go for God. Go for God. Covenant with God that you will serve Him when you get there. And if there's no church in your location, you'll start one. Because some people, you are even trying. Some people say they can't even marry a pastor. Though their own parents are pastors, but they cannot marry pastors. Develop a disciplined approach to prayer. Don't play games. The best way to pray is to start praying. Set your time, 1 hour, 45 minutes. If you are not used to praying 1 hour, build towards it. You can start by 20 minutes. Tell yourself, by next week, I'm moving to 30. You will realize you are making more progress than somebody that is waiting to pray 7 hours. You want to pray, as I can say, "I remember yesterday, we were waiting on God for 7 hours. Who cares? It's your problem. You are the one that has prayer point. When God really begins to deal with you like that, you can't even say it again. Have you ever prayed for 7 hours? Then you just notice you went to sleep. You've prayed for hours. Now notice, someone said, "Pastor, I don't sleep at night." You've not prayed well. There's a way you pray to exhaustion. Even, did I hear Pastor David's voice? Papa, I didn't know you are here. Where does I was looking for you. Gee, Papa. You know, there's a way you pray at night. Even Satan will just say, sleep. From today, I'll not disturb you. Sleep. So I don't know why, Pastor. Once it's 2 a.m., I just wake up. I can't. I can't go to bed. You are not well. My friend, prayer. I will give you prayer point 14. Each one is 20 minutes, or if you like, 15. You pray it. I'll give you nations you'll be praying for. I'll give you people here you'll be praying for. If in 2 weeks you are not sleeping soundly, I will not preach again. You cannot sleep. I know the solution. My year only. If I give you that drug and you use it, just use it the way I tell you. If you don't sleep, I won't preach again. You cannot sleep. Keys to revival: the pursuit of hearing His voice again. That blessing, I don't know how it is to you. I really don't get used to hearing His voice. Because many, especially when it comes at a time when I'm in dire need. Every time it just seems so different. Last 2 months, I was sharing a story here, but I didn't finish it. And it wasn't really a season when I was really doing a lot of spiritual things. But my wife and I, we've been so overwhelmed because our daughter had been sick for about 2 months. But most of you did not know. All right? And we've been praying. If I got so bad, the moment I pray for her, her temperature will spike. So it's like it's better for me to stop praying so that the thing can be leveling. Meanwhile, I was here praying for others. They were sharing testimony. I prayed. I prayed till I started becoming scared. She was placed on the strongest antibiotic. We changed hospitals, like move from Magodo, move to another one. You know. I know the one at Magodo was over 300,000 or so. Because we didn't want HMO to ruin our chances. Let's pay. Treat. I need my daughter. It was stressful for her. I had my wife. I think I was not in the country then or something. Came back, took over from my wife was already exhausted. We were doing like that, and I was still coming to preach in church. If you were not close to me, then you would not have known. Meanwhile, somebody is still come after say, Pastor, I still want to see you. Pastor is also looking for someone to see. I need someone to pray for me. Because my daughter is very important to me. Sometimes it's good for us to share these stories with you. I don't need your sympathy. I'm just telling you. So don't sympathize with me. If you want to sympathize with me, send me dollars. Not naira. I don't take naira. I take dollars. Because your naira is something else now. I need the dollar. That one I can hold that one. In case I need to mobilize funds to jackpa. Not jackpa now, jackpa. We prayed, we fasted, we did everything. Nothing. So when I tell you that there's power in praying for long, I know. Because when it hits you differently, there's a way you can become scared. You're talking about the life of a child here. No parent should lose a child. Even if that child is one day old, it's not a palatable experience. I became scared. One day my daughter came to me and said she had a dream that she saw snakes in the house. Because she's prophetic. I said, that means what we are dealing with was not totally medical. There's a spiritual element to it. So I just told her, is that what you said? I said, okay, don't worry, go. When I told her, go, I will handle it. But I didn't know what to do. So I waited till 12 midnight. Come on, say 12 midnight. There's a formula around that 12. Eh? Especially when you are praying around the watch time, watch hours. Don't just hear the story, hear the principle. So, 12, my wife was somewhere at the parlor. I didn't even discuss anything with her. It was time to take her to bed. Everybody had gone to bed, just three of us. So I grabbed her. She was even asleep. I grabbed her. I was at the parlor, center of the parlor, and I held her tight. I squeezed her, and I began to pray against every serpentine spirit that has invaded my space. And I began to rebuke it. My wife quickly caught the hint. She started praying. And we prayed. I held her. I prayed from here. Because now I needed God to do something. I was tired. It's not just praying because, oh God, I know there's nothing you cannot do. No. This has gone for too long. You cannot put somebody on the strongest antibiotic and after 3 days, the thing relapses. And the doctor is telling me his immune system. Oh God, do something. You are the doctor now. When you are telling me now, what do you want me to do? You tell me his immune system. Okay, I've heard. What do we do? You are as clueless as I am. Say his immune system. The stem is immune system. I don't understand how this plate. There's red blood. I don't. Just tell us what we need to do. The doctor is lost. I'm lost. So I enter into prayer. But it was my daughter's guidance that gave me the hint. Because somewhere in my heart, I didn't want to admit that Satan invaded my space. But the moment she said it, I knew it was something I had to deal with my pride. I held her. I began to pray and I rebuked that spirit. I prayed till there was a release. Talking to a long prayer. Maybe 10, 15 minutes. That kind of prayer, you have to stay till you get a release. Oh. Hey, are you hearing me now? Well, you wait till you, if you don't get the release, don't stop. Pastor, I prayed. You didn't pray. You wait till you get, you pray. That release comes when you pray from here. Because the witness will also be placed here, out of your belly. And went to bed around 4 a.m. I had a vision. For a few minutes to 4 a.m. And I shared, some of you remember I shared the story about how the Lord appeared to me, but I didn't say the full story. Yeah. So the Lord appeared, and in that vision, I was holding my daughter. I sat on the floor, holding my daughter the way I was holding her when I was praying. But this time I was sitting on the floor, and I heard her like this, and she was sleeping. My wife had gone to look for something or get something, and the Lord came wearing plain white suit with long beard, and I remember white shirt, striped tie, and he was covered in glory, and he was walking, taking calculated steps towards me. When I saw him, I wasn't sure if it was an angel or the Lord. I'd never seen him wear a suit all my life. I've seen him, but I've never seen him. But it was the glory around him that made me realize this was not a human being. And he came and took the baby from my hand and opened her mouth like this. And he breathed into it. And a bluish thing came out of his mouth and entered into my daughter's mouth. And then he gave the girl back to me. And he turned. No word. And the moment he did that, my brain was cut. Who operates like this? It's Jesus. But I didn't want to be too forward because he didn't talk to me. He just picked the baby. And the moment I just stopped and I said, Jesus. And he stopped. Then I went on my knees and he looked at me. Your daughter is free from that affliction. And I opened my eyes. He said to me, say our temperature will now be 36. I woke up that morning. My wife was holding the baby. And I asked her, what's the temperature? She checked 36. Listen, this is not game. Huh? Return to him and he will come to you. Don't wait till you are in a tight corner before you begin to cave in under pressure. Let us draw near to God. Need fresh fire. Come on, say I need fresh fire. The Lord spoke in that experience, and that was what marked the freedom. And she was able to go back to school. The next point, we must do the first works again. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus said, remember therefore where you are falling, repent and do the first works. Or else I will come to thee quickly and remove your candlestick out of the place except you repent. You must do the first works. Those things you used to do before. Your time of fellowship, serving God, where you used to find joy in serving God and not complaining about what you are doing for God in his house. Some people think when they serve God in the house of God like this, that maybe it's just out of convenience. No, it's sacrifice. It's sacrifice for me to be here as your pastor. The keys to revival, following the Lord afresh with all our heart. You will be tempted to continue the way you used to do it. But God is saying, no, now that I've revived you, you have to follow me with what? All your heart. Finally, the keys to revival, abiding in God's love. Abiding in God's love. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. Please rise on your feet. Revive thy works in the midst of the years, and in your wrath, remember